Church, this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Now, Pastor Jason and the campus pastors have put together a wrap-up for our summer series this morning. So we are going to go back over everything that we've talked about because practicing the way isn't something that we can leave in the summer. Amen. Amen. Practicing the way isn't just a fun summer series. It is foundational truth to our lives. If you were challenged in the midst of generosity, if you were challenged in the midst of solitude, if you were challenged over the last few weeks in the midst of the depth and passion that we need to have for Scripture, my prayer today is that this would be a reminder to keep it at the forefront. That we would run with God in everything that He has for us. We have a couple individuals at this campus who run marathons. We have a couple individuals at this campus who are not only marathon runners, but marathon inviters. And I just want to thank each and every one of them that at the doors on Sunday let me know of the Ironmans that they're running or the giant marathons that they're going on. And as they extend their hands in friendship, I believe, and a handshake, they say, "Pastor Mitch, you should run it too." Now, I appreciate the confidence that they have in me, not knowing that I do not have the skills that they are professing for me to have. And I just can tell that some of it would be, I don't know if you are this way, but I'm a very competitive individual. Signing up for a marathon race would be a very poor choice for me because I am, at my best, a sprinter. All right? I don't want to talk too big today because I'm in, you know, my nice Sunday shoes and I don't want to be challenged by all the youth in the room as they're leaving, say, okay, race to the end. No, I can't do that today, all right? There's too many of y'all and you're young and you're fast and I'm just coming to terms with the fact. But I'm still competitive and I still love it. And I know if I signed up for a marathon race, I would be one of those people who at the beginning of the race, I would be flying. If you were there, you would say, wow. He's so fast. Now, if you kept your eyes locked on me for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds down the road, you would say, oh no, he's fallen. Okay, somebody get that man some water. See, I am not a long-distance sprinter. In fact, even in high school and back in the day when I was athletic, I enjoyed the sports where it was brief spurts of energy. So hockey and different things like that. I could run the 100 meter and at least try to compete. But any time that the coach would say, okay, we're going to run around this circle six times, I would look at him and say, why? What are we accomplishing? Like, why run? I'm just going to wait here for them. They're all coming back, right? I'll give them a high five as they go. I'm just going to be here. It never really made sense to me. But one of the things that I have been challenged with this summer from all of our speakers is the reminder that our faith in God is a marathon, not a sprint. Church, this is why it's important for us this morning to rehash everything that we've talked about because simply our discussion on generosity 5 weeks ago, how many of you know life 5 weeks ago seems like a long, long time ago? Can you remember where you were 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago? In fact, we started the generosity practice 7 weeks ago at the beginning of summer. Do you remember it? It's many sleeps ago. But it's important for us to be reminded of all of the things that God has instructed us to follow. All of these incredible practices that Jesus modeled in his life. Because we are not called to simply be reminded and leave them by the wayside. We have been called to read Scripture and plant it in our hearts. We have been called to establish who it is that Jesus is and say, God, make me more like you every day. Sprinting after a message on generosity that week and feeling like you're exceedingly generous. And then simply leaving it behind as we move into solitude and you're like, okay, now I'm alone. And then finally leaving that and saying, finally, I don't have to be alone anymore. Now I'm reading God's word. Church, we have to be so careful, don't we? Yeah. That we don't become a gathering of individuals who claim to know God as their Savior, but only put into application the things that we hear on a Sunday. We have to be even more careful if we don't apply it at all. Ooh. This is a marathon. This is God saying, these are the things that my son did. And he has set the model, he has set the example so that each and every one of you could have life and life more abundantly. Does anybody here want life and life more abundantly? Church, one of the greatest things that we can offer our culture that doesn't know Jesus yet is to see him in the beauty of who he is. Many people will dissect and attack and try to tear apart scripture, but the one thing that they cannot deny is that the things that Jesus taught were good. And not only are they good, but they're established in the heartbeat of heaven. Because our Messiah was more than just a good teacher, amen? He was the Son of the living God, who still lives to this day and is seated on the throne. Church, he is risen. He is risen. And how do we know this? Because there are moments in your relationship with God where as you're reading through scripture, as you're studying all these things, there are moments where God is going to meet you in ways that you cannot explain. Hello? My favorite thing about Baptism Sunday is preparing every one of our candidates for something that I can't explain. They're looking to me and saying, Pastor, what should I expect? I say, all I know is I have no idea what's about to happen. But every time it happens, this is our God. And church, as you open your heart to who it is that God has created you to be, as you open your heart to allow the person of Jesus to be modeled in your life, I cannot explain it, but it's so good. And it's transformative. And it begins to pour out and you begin to carry this fragrance of peace and life and joy. And so we need to apply generosity to our lives. We need to dig in with God and find that place of solitude. And man, oh man, do we need to be settled on the foundational power of Scripture. Daryl Johnson said that God's will is to set us free from all that keeps us from being blessed so that we could be a blessing. Church, my prayer for you is that this would be an unprecedented season of your opportunity to be a blessing. That this would be an unprecedented season of your opportunity to be a blessing. That generosity would not only be a part of this church, but may it flow out of these walls in waves. Pastor Jason and myself and Pastor Cassie challenged each and every one of us in this room with that reminder that God owns everything. And yet we are called to steward by learning to trust God with everything. Luke chapter 12, verses 13. Jesus challenged the listeners with this parable. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Jesus turned and said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. And he told them a parable saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my old barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods and all of the blessings and all of the giftings and all of the time for myself. And then I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. You're safe. You're content. It's plentiful. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God responded to him in his heart and said, Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards the Lord. Let's pray. And so, God, we present ourselves here this morning as a reminder, Lord God, of the challenge that you have issued to us through your Son. God, I pray that we would be in the world, but not of it. Lord God, I pray that we would be able to find that time alone with you to put away distraction, to hear your voice once again. God, may your voice lead this church. God, speak in power and blessing over each and every person here, Lord God. May they put aside the list this morning. God, may they put aside the needs to, the must to, the I want and I wish. And instead this morning, may we simply declare thank you. As we rest in this place with you. And God, we turn to Scripture in a time where everyone is so hungry for truth. God, your word has been tested. Your word has been scrutinized. And yet it stands. For you are who you say that you are. And we declare that you are God. And so, Lord, teach our young people this morning to the very root of who they are, that unshakable truth that you're their Father. And for those of us who are a little bit older, Lord God, remind us this morning of the joy of our salvation. May it be rooted in your Scripture. As you breathe into our hearts, may it flow from our mouths and may it refresh and renew our minds. We ask this today in your holy name. Amen. 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 Church, in a culture that is constantly wondering, how can I get just a little more? We need to position ourselves to be ever thankful. Whew. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? When you look at the life of Jesus. Even as I was giving the challenge today about the waters of baptism, I've had so many conversations with individuals that would say, you know, I'm probably too old to get baptized. I've been walking with God for maybe a little bit too long. I'm probably past the point of baptism. And my response is, do you know how old Jesus was when he got baptized? He was 30. He was an old man, right? All the young people said, amen, that's old. And he knew the Father better than any of us. And yet he still said, this is important, not only for him, but for us. Church, aren't you so challenged this morning that in living a life of generosity, it means that we need to wake up every day and thank the Lord for the very breath that he has provided to us and ask him, God, with this breath that you've given, what is it that you would have of me today? Because my time and my energy and my gifts, the resources that you have allowed me to accrue, come on, the resources that you have placed, God, they are yours. Where would you like to place them today? Church, I'm so thankful for Life Center. You've heard me say this many times, and it's not because I'm paid to say it. I would say it anyway. Thank you. This is an incredible church filled with incredible people. And I'm talking about you. We are so thankful for you. The pastoral staff, every week, we're just in awe that God would gather such an incredible group of people together to make a Jesus-sized difference in this city. For the last couple of weeks, we've been sowing the seed of generosity. Over 650 backpacks were put together and went out. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have the resources to fill 650 backpacks. But I'm so thankful to belong to a church that prioritized the young people. That the little bit that he's asked us to sow into that ministry, he has multiplied in ways that we could never possibly imagine. And he's doing that each and every week through CityServe, through our food bank in Orleans, through different hospitality moments that come into this church. Church, I want to encourage you. This is a generous church. You are a generous people, but you cannot outgive God. And what it is that you have sown, what it is that you will be challenged to give to the Lord, he will multiply in Jesus' name. And this morning, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Mitch, I don't have the finances right now. That's fine. What about your time? What about your gifts? Do not be like that servant that Jesus talked about in his parables of the one who received talents from the Lord and buried them. So, well, at least I know what it is that I have. I know that I have the gift of discernment. I know that I have the gift of administration. I know that I have the gift, and it goes on and goes on. And so as long as I know what my gifts are, good. Church, it's not about you. It's about him. And he has equipped you, and he has gifted you so that you could be a blessing. Life Center Kanata is on the road, is on this journey, and we are already seeing it in fullness. We see it in the moments of baptism. We see it at times when families are in difficulty. We see it in times when people are in need. Life Center Kanata is a church that serves each other. We are not a church where the pastoral team is responsible for everything that happens. Amen? I mean, you better say amen, because y'all are doing it. You're doing it. We have so many people that serve, but church, there is more room. There's more room. We can be more generous in our time that we give to our young people on Sundays. We can be more generous in the time that we give to each other in this space. We can be more generous in the time that we dedicate to praying one for the other. Let us be a people of generosity. Secondly, let us be a people of solitude. I opened the series on solitude, and then I stepped down, and Shola was the beginning of four speakers in a row where every Sunday I heard, so what is it you say that you do here? Because they were pretty good. And Shola got up and delivered a powerful message on a reminder of why it is that we need to find ourselves positioned with the Lord. So many of us are asking God to speak into this new season. So many of us today are asking God to meet us in this place, to show us what doors need to be opened and what doors need to be closed, and which way that we can go, how to lead our friends into this moment of salvation that they can taste and see that God is good. Some of us this morning are asking God to meet us in the midst of our depression. We're asking God to meet us in the midst of anxiety, asking God to be present in this place, and we're asking and we're asking and we're asking. Beloved, this morning, what if God wants to stand up in the midst of your storm and speak to you and say, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Because he's in the boat with you. It is a privilege and a blessing that you don't have to force your way into the throne room today. Amen? It is a privilege and a blessing that you right now can tone out everything that I say, because thank the Lord, it's not about me. But you can actually center yourself right now in this place and just allow yourself to be in the presence of the Father. He's with you, whether you feel it or not. Come on, somebody. Right? This isn't about finding that quiet place so you can get that tingly feeling or have the butterflies in your stomach. No, this is reminding yourself that if God is who he says that he is, then his word is true. And if his word is true, then he says, as I run after him, he'll run after me, whether you feel it or not. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs that today. Somebody needs to be reminded this morning that it's not about this incredible moment at an altar response. It's not about waiting for the next conference. It's not about waiting for the next moment where everything is just perfect and it's just right and you get this moment with, no, it's about the reminder he is here. When you walk out, he's with you. In your car, on the way home, on the bus, however it is, he is there. When you're sitting on your own, you are not alone. He's with you. And what a privilege it is to be with him. Pastor Jason, we actually met this week as a full Life Center team. There's over 40 of us, including all of our summer students. And a big thank you to Passimi, to Josh, to Noah, to Lola Church. They served you so well behind the scenes. These were our four summer students here in Kanata. They did amazingly well. It is not only just a huge round of thanks to their parents who have raised them well, but also to you, church. Setting the example for these young people, they did amazing. So a big thank you to them. Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori were here in Kanata on Wednesday with all of the team. And Pastor Jason asked us this question. If you could ask Jesus one thing, what would it be? Doesn't your mind just immediately begin to, I only have one thing? Woo! Anybody got more than one thing? You're like, I got a list, right? We had a really, really incredible responses. God, where is it that you want to move next in this city? God, can you remind me and show me of the places where I have fallen short and yet you have been so faithful? Different responses that rang out. And Pastor Jason presented us with this. He said, you know, the one time that the disciples asked Jesus for something, it was in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples turned to him and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Just as John taught his disciples. They would ask him different questions about healing and miracles, but this was the one thing that they said, God, teach us, show us, explain to us. You have modeled it, but we want to hear, we want to know. And why? Because prayer is what sets your life on fire. It's what allows you to be filled. Prayer is that space where you can meet with God and actually stop the noise. Prayer because he wants you to recognize his voice, to increase your ability to hear from him. And prayer is centered on Scripture, church. Why do we pray? Because he is faithful. We pray because Jesus was shown that every time that he would pour out, he would retreat into this moment of solitude and this moment of prayer. Anytime that he was about to step into a new ministry season, there's a note, there's a point of recognizing that he would pull back and meet with the Lord. He wants to meet with us. This morning, if we could ask him one thing, would it be, God, teach me to pray? God, teach me how to be alone with you, how to rest with you. Teach me, Lord God, to hear your voice clearly. It doesn't belittle or make light of all the other questions that we have. But I think it's a reminder this morning that in those times of solitude, in those times of prayer, it's not simply an opportunity to share with him all of our needs and all of our wants, but it's also a chance for us to say, God, I'm here. Speak. What do you want to say today? Church, do you believe that he wants to speak to you today? That he has something new for your life? Oh, come on. That he has something fresh, a new revelation, a new understanding, a new reminder that he loves you completely. We've now had our smartphones for a ridiculous amount of time. And new studies are starting to come out. A recent study said that a child born today, if given a smartphone by the age of 13, will spend approximately a total of 20 years of their life scrolling on that device. And we know this, don't we? Because it's possible in the day in which we live to spend the rest of our lives, if we have that smartphone attached, without any silence or any solitude. And I believe that this summer was a fantastic challenge. I believe Scripture itself is a fantastic challenge. When we say that we want to be in the world but not of it, this is a great place to start. To carve out times in our day where we simply say, no, I can't. So many of you came up to me as we were walking through the solitude challenge, and I heard reports from our family of times when they would purposefully sit down with God's word and immediately have the temptation to pick up the phone and scroll. And they said, Pastor Mitch, it was the message on Sunday. It was Shola's challenge to where I literally had to pick my Bible back up and say, no, that's not what I'm here for. Church, the enemy wants to steal and rob and destroy that place of intimacy between you and the Father. Do not allow it. I'm not saying throw at your smartphone. All right. Back in the day, I remember at camp, we used to have things called CDs. All right. Youth, you got to come with me for a second. All right. Some of you, you don't even know what that is. You remember cassette tapes. All right. The youth are like, I've heard of CDs. What are these contraptions called cassette tapes? But I remember walking into these places and we would go out to the campfire and we would set all of our CDs ablaze. Anyone else remember that time, right? Where we would say like, these are robbing us of what it is that God, because God wants to speak. But there's all these competing voices. All these different places. I'm not saying that as you leave here, we're going to have a fire set up for you to throw your phone. I'm not doing that, all right? So just cross that out of your journals, X that out of your, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is it's time to put it down. It's time to put it down. It's time to carve out space in our day where we pick up God's word and say nothing competes with this space. I just want you. Nothing else. Finally, we walk through scripture together. And Ron, Lindsay, Nathaniel did such an incredible job of challenging us. And I'll be the first to say that every message I sat there and saying, God, I need your help. God, I need your word to be more planted in my heart. God, I need to embrace the challenge of going through scripture and having it direct every piece of my day. God, I want to be in that place where as temptation tries to rear its ugly head, I immediately from the depths of my soul respond with scriptural response. I'm going to put the phone down and stay in your word. Let us not make light of the temptation of distraction that is plaguing our world today. And they did such an incredible job of reminding us of how important scripture is. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23, Jesus began to go over all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom to come. And he was healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Jesus had the same access to the scriptures that the other rabbis and the Pharisees and the teachers had, but there was something different in what it was that he spoke. Because Jesus knew the Father. Church, may we be a collection of people who know God. Amen. Memorize scripture, know your scripture, but meet him in that intimate place, that you would know the Father. It is so important for us to live and breathe in scripture. But if you go through what it was that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, what you'll see is that the challenge is too large. It's actually impossible to live up to all of the standards that Jesus plays out there. How do we know that? Because there was only one who was able to do it, our Savior. The one true Lamb. It's not a declaration of all the rules to follow. What it really is it's Jesus presenting before the people that God knows your heart and he sees your heart and he wants to provide you a different way. Where you are not strong enough, he can be strong enough in you. May we be a people that not only memorize scripture, but allow it to sink deep into our hearts. Do you remember that opening quote from Daryl Johnson? God's will is to set us free from all that keeps us from being blessed to be a blessing. The written word and the living word have to be inseparable. To know what it is that the Father says, and then to live in a way to where others can read it off of your story. This is what it is that God has called us to. He has different things in the Bible, different descriptions and different scriptures for salvation and understanding of what true success looks like, how it is that we're supposed to operate in areas of sex, how we're supposed to run after him for our identity in him and not what others would want us to be. How do we work through hurts? How do we create good habits? How do we exist and repair and live in relationship? What about restoration and dreams and debts and desires? The list goes on, and God's word has something to say. Whenever or wherever God sets us free, we are blessed. Jesus wants to send us in this season as salt and light for the city of Ottawa and the surrounding area, to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, that we can go out into a broken world with one goal, that as we are blessed, that we would be a blessing, introducing people to the only one who set us free. This coming week, we begin season 7 of Becoming Heartstrong. That's crazy. Well, not this week, but like next Sunday and then the week after. And we're going to get to step right into the book of Proverbs. Church, this is a time to allow scripture to speak to your heart, to hunger and thirst after wisdom, to seek the heart of the Lord, so that we would be a church that isn't just known for generosity, that isn't just known for being comfortable in silence, that isn't just known for reading scripture and preaching scripture well. Let us be a church that is known by the name of Jesus. All of these things, not so that we can have better lives, not so that we can have more things, not so that we can have more contentment. No, all of these practices so that we can look more like him. Your friends, your families, your loved ones, your neighbors, they need Jesus. And this morning, so do we. More of him. In all things. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I just lift up Patricia and I lift up Tolu today, Lord Jesus. I thank you for their declaration. God, as we are speaking these things, Lord, may you move in power in their lives. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to champion, Lord God, what it is that you have done in their lives. Thank you for the testimonies that ring out. And over each and every person here, God, I pray new testimony. God, I pray that this would be a season of rejuvenation when it comes to our love for scripture. I pray, Lord God, that there would be testimonies of saying, I don't even know what I was doing being that generous. I just knew that he was calling me to it. And may you move in the generosity, Lord Jesus, of our resources. May you move, Lord God, in the generosity of our time. May you move, Lord God, in how it is that we use the gifts to meet the needs of one another. God, I pray this morning that today all of us would find time to be alone with you, to rest in you. God, give us the opportunity to join you in sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm. For you are God. And all of this is centered on your word. Your son, the living word, showed us in person how to live this out. And your word has been passed down and passed on to each and every one of us. God, may we store it in our hearts. And for those that don't know you yet, God, may we live in a way that they would taste and see that you are good. Help us, Lord Jesus, to live in the midst of blessing so that we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.